Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy. Pleased to welcome you all to All Sides Weekend. Today we talk about the arts, and I'm calling this program The Arts and Outreach in Central Ohio. And I have three guests here who are very much involved with bringing the arts, their constituency and others, to you. They are Edward Lang, who is the artistic director of Ballet Met, who's also had a wonderful career as a dancer with George Balanchine, and told me that he's been retired for many years, which you must have been very young because you're very young now. But it's wonderful to have you back here. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
David Brown is the founder of the Harmony Project, and we're going to ask you a lot about that in the course of this conversation. And Mark Cardwell is the director of marketing for the King Arts Complex. And I'm especially delighted that we are kind of reestablishing our marriage with the King Arts Complex new management now. And we're very happy to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Let's talk, first of all, have each of you touch briefly on what you are doing and what your organizations are all about. And I'd like to start with Edward.
Well, Ballet Met's really excited right now because we're bringing a new production to the Ohio Theater. And the first thing is George Balanchine's Symphony in C. And we'll be the first company, along with Cincinnati Ballet, to bring Symphony in C as a collaboration.
That's a seminal work in the ballet world, is it not?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's 45 dancers on stage. It's once the curtain goes up, I call it a little piece of heaven. And it's one of his, I think, most brilliant work, but it's one of my favorite Balanchine ballets to dance and to watch. And we'll be the first company to have this as a collaboration between two companies. Because Cincinnati Ballet and Ballet Met, we don't have the right size to be able to do this huge ballet that we're collaborating to bring this to both Cincinnati and Columbus. And then we'll do Bolero from Victoria Morgan, who is the artistic director for Cincinnati Ballet. And then my first work for Columbus, Wonderland. And we're bringing it basically from the Kennedy Center. It was premiered in Washington Ballet in 2009.
Now, when you say it's because you're relatively new in town, although you've already made your mark here as the artistic director of Ballet Met, when you say that it's your ballet, Wonderland, what do you mean by that? And tell us about it.
Well, originally it was for Washington Ballet. It was probably, I think, my 25th ballet that I've done. And they commissioned this new work with Philip Glass, and it's their string quartet, and Metamorphosis 2, which is to piano. Mm-hmm. And it was for Washington Ballet. They really used this ballet to launch a lot of their programs, and it was part of Dance Across America at Kennedy Center just last year. So it's very exciting for me to bring this particular ballet because the dancers just look incredible in it. I'm really excited to, you know, bring it to Columbus.
And that's going to be a local premiere.
It will be. Terrific. It'll be at the Ohio Theater 21st, 22nd,
and
23rd.
We will talk more about that today and as the day approaches. Mark, welcome.
Yes.
Tell me about the King Arts. You know, the first time I visited the King Arts Complex, I was given a tour. And, you know, if you need to really pay attention to that building and that complex, because I was shown the Pythian Theater.
Yes.
And
yes.
Who knew there was another beautiful theater
exactly
down in the neighborhood? So talk to me about the King Arts Complex.
Well, sure. The King Arts Complex, like you said, is very steeped in the history of the what's now known as the King Lincoln District. And the historic Pythian Theater was built in the 1920s and by an African-American architect named Samuel Plato. And that building was conjoined with the old Garfield Elementary School, and that makes up the now 63,000 square feet that we have there at the King Arts Complex. And so since 1987, we've been a multidisciplinary presenting organization, and we're really kind of excited because we're kind of changing that position. We're going from being a presenting-only arts institution to a presenter-producer, and so hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about that a little
and
bit.
You also have classes, do you not?
Oh, definitely, yes.
There's an education component there.
Yes.
That's
very
important to the mission.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. We'll get back to that. David Brown, the Harmony Project is getting wonderful profile in the community. People are very excited about this. People people have asked me, because I mentioned your name once on the radio 6 months ago, what do you know about that? What do you know about that? So rather than have me sort of shrug my shoulders, I want you to tell us about the Harmony Project and tell us about David Brown.
Well, the Harmony Project's far more interesting than I am, so I'm going to spend time talking about it. The idea is basically that arts and service are the same thing to us, that art is social service. And so the goal of the Harmony Project is to bring together people from multicultural, socioeconomic, educational, religious, political backgrounds, and put them all together into a situation where they learn to perform at a level that they could not have imagined possible before. Musical ability, musical talent,
performed
musical experience.
Performed in what way? How, performed how?
Vocal performance.
Your chorus.
So we turn, right, we turn 200 people in 10 weeks into a professional choir. And then they perform on stage at the Ohio Theater, the Southern Theater, different locations around town. And there's no requirement as far as ability to be able to perform, and there's no cost to the participant. But what they must do in turn to have that great moment on the Ohio Theater stage is to be able to give back in the community through a series of service initiatives. And we do the same with our programs at South High School. The students get to sing, they get to travel to New York, to D.C., but they must give back to the community.
You mean to volunteer in the community in any number of things that need attention paid to them?
Absolutely. Well, we have multiple programming. So we have the arts programming and we have social services programming. So the social services, one of our programs is called One Week, One Neighborhood, where we focus volunteers from all over the city in a specific neighborhood. Last year it was Livingston Avenue between Parsons and Nelson. This year it's Franklinton. So residents who don't live in Franklinton, who might not have been to Franklinton, will come in, and there they will plant trees, they will create public art, they will we provide mulch and flowers to the neighbors who live in the community. So we try to get everybody out working together across these kind of cultural lines and divides that kind of keep us apart. And the goal is not to all agree politically or all agree in how we worship, how we pray, how we vote, but it's to agree that, hey, that park needs some trees, that building needs to be painted, these kids need to have some programming after school. So that's kind of what we do. Is we
when
bring
you dig in a
together.
Hole to plant trees, doesn't matter who you are.
You got it.
Like if you can dig a hole, we want you, right?
You got
that's
it.
Right. Now, the Harmony Project, as I understand it, did begin with you.
Yes.
This is not a national movement that you are a part of. You are the Harmony. You began the Harmony Project, and I can imagine it's being now copied elsewhere in the country.
Well, you know, like I say, it's not rocket science. I mean, the idea is to just kind of bring people together and say, let's use art, let's use music, let's use the tools that go along with that to build bridges and connect people together. So while yes, this actual organization began with me filling out the paperwork to get it going, it really was born in and of Columbus. So we say that it's of, by, and for Columbus.
Terrific. Mark, related to that, you were discussing the King Lincoln District, where the center is located, the
right.
King Arts Complex. And that neighborhood, there's been a lot of effort to revitalize that neighborhood
right.
in the last
right.
few years. Can you talk about that? Have you noticed change? Is your constituency
sure.
changing?
Yeah, definitely. The whole area is changing. You know, there's a lot of development that's going on. And so on the one hand, for those of us who know the area and as a kid on the Near East Side, I was one of those kids that would walk around the neighborhood and everything. To see the changes is sometimes a little, you know, disarming, you know, to see some of the landmarks and the things that you knew as a child, you know, go away. But when you look at the blueprint and the plan for the area, it's absolutely wonderful. And it's all happening right now. It's all in real
right.
time. And so the King Arts Complex, we want to be a part of that, and we want to be able to be, you know, an institution that continues to lay out the legacy of the area. And
if
that.
If you were a child in that mm-hmm. neighborhood, then you probably remember your parents or grandparents, what that neighborhood was
yes.
50 and 60 years ago. That
yes.
was like the jazz capital of the world,
yeah.
apparently.
It's known as the cradle of jazz. That Mount Vernon area, all up and down, you had different clubs. You had all the major artists coming through on the circuit to perform. And also the area is known as the Million Dollar Block. I mean, it has so much history. And the King Arts Complex, when you walk through the building, if you haven't been there recently, you have to come, because we literally lay out what the area looked like in picture and in form, and we also have a documentary DVD that runs and talks about kind of an oral history of where things were. And even myself, as my mother, who is 83, tells me about the things.
So she remembers what she was actually there. She remembered what it was like. I'm told that when the I-70 corridor came in, it wrecked the neighborhood.
Absolutely. Pretty much, absolutely. So it's things change.
Well, the King Arts Complex then is a very big part of bringing that neighborhood back. So because you're an anchor, you're a destination there.
Right.
We are going to continue to talk more about outreach, which basically is the modus operandi for the Harmony Project, as I would think. I mean, you can now tell me a little bit more, David Brown, about what, when you say you're required to give back, what kind of things are you doing besides planting trees? Can you?
Sure.
What can you do?
Sure. So every Tuesday and Friday at the Commons at Buckingham, which is it's a supportive housing facility for people who had experienced chronic homelessness, veterans, people with mental, physical disabilities challenges. Some of these folks have been living on the land for several years. But because we have such a great community shelter board here in Columbus that gets people off the streets and gets them into a place where they have a pillow, they have a bed, they have something to eat. But those folks live together all in the same facilities. And so sometimes the mentality is the same. They all are just together in the same space, and they don't have an opportunity to kind of think outside of their own circumstances. So volunteers are allowed through the Harmony Project to go in, meet with them, sing with them, eat with them, do projects with them, paint with them. And so it creates friendships. It creates relationships across these lines. So someone who lives on Broad Street in Bexley, someone who lives in Hilliard, someone who lives in Grove City, is down on a Tuesday afternoon at the Commons at Buckingham over by CCAD and Columbus State, sharing a meal with someone who used to live on the land, creating art with someone who has mental and physical disabilities. So they get to know each other across those divides that kind of keep us separate. In addition to that, you can volunteer at South High School, which was one of the lowest performing schools in the district. But we have 70 students now who are coming every week and singing and giving back. And they cleaned 100 blocks around their school to earn a trip to D.C.
You know, apropos of that, I do think that the only way now we can really buck up the public schools if all of us, parents and otherwise, go in there. I mean, with no disrespect intended to the professionals, but there's not enough of them and they're overworked. So if enough of us, this whole Reading Buddy program, I don't know if you know about that, is great. I'm teaching third graders to read, and I'm becoming young again, which is kind of great. When we come back, we're going to talk to Edward Lang about how he finds the lay of the land here in Columbus after being here, what, for a year and a half, 2 years?
7 months.
Well, shut me up. All right, that's fine. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in 60 seconds. This is All Sides Weekend. I'm Christopher Purdy. Don't go away. Thank you, Amy Jurevich. I'm Christopher Purdy, here with Edward Lang, who's the artistic director of Ballet Met. David Brown is the founder of the Harmony Project, and Mark Cardwell is the director of marketing for the King Arts Complex. These are three heavy hitters in our local arts life, and we are talking about the arts and outreach on today's edition of All Sides Weekend. If you'd like to get in the conversation, 292-8513. That number again is 292-8513, or send us an email at allsides@wosu.org. I want to get to Edward Lang in just a moment, but one last question for you, Mark.
Sure.
As I said, when I first had my first tour of the King Arts Complex, they took me into the Pythian Theater.
Yeah.
I had no clue it was there.
Right.
It's a beautiful, old, wonderfully restored theater.
Yes.
Not enough people know that it's there, so
right.
I'm here to tell you it's there. It's a wonderful theater.
Yes.
But how is the up-and-running Lincoln Theater impacting the art? Is that a question you don't have tired of?
No.
Because you're neighbor. You are neighbors.
Yeah, we're neighbors, and you mentioned earlier that the King Arts Complex is an anchor for the Near East Side, and we're happy to have another arts organization alongside of us doing, even just sitting here, I just love the fact that we're all really on mission and we're all about bringing more arts to Columbus.
And you're all busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
exactly.
There's demand for what everybody does.
Yeah. So the more the merrier as far as we're concerned.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Edward Lang, Ballet Met. Now, you've been here for 7 months.
Yes.
You came from?
New York City and
New
Chicago.
New York City and Chicago. Okay, so here you are running the company, and I don't know, tell me what you understood about Columbus, Ohio before you moved here, and then tell me your perceptions now that you've been here for a while in terms of the arts and everything else.
Well, I didn't really know that much about Columbus. The first time I came to Columbus was my first interview. And it was a long process for interview. Ballet Met does a very strict, mm-hmm. stringent interview process. But I came here 3 times for interview in person. And I moved here June 26th of last year. And my first day of work was July 1st. And in the very beginning, I think that with any sort of arts leader, you really want to be able to listen as much as possible and understand the organization that you're working for and the city that you're working for. Because I think for all of us, we're stewards for our organization and being a part of the bigger conversation.
Before you move here, if you hear the name Columbus, you think Buckeyes, which, by the way, I thought was something different than what it is. We won't go there. And football.
Yes.
You don't think ballet. That's not the first thing that comes to one's mind. And I know you're up to change that, but did that put you off a little bit or?
No, not at all, because I think that, you know, truth is that every company has its golden age. And even though Ballet Met has been here in the community, serving the community for 36 years, it's really hungry and it wants to grow and it wants to really be even more impactful. And that's what drew me to this job is that there's possibility and that there is the possibility for more audience and that the community wants more art.
How do those, and this is something you all can jump in with, how do those possibilities, which I agree exist, manifest themselves?
Well, I love the word possibility because it stems back from when I was an apprentice with New York City Ballet. Ballet Met has incredible education programs, has the Wiggle Jig, you know, moving into literacy, and because of Battelle, it was, you know, it's expanding. But in New York City Ballet, we had this education program where we went to lower economic high schools and everywhere. And we'd wake up 6 o'clock in the morning.
So there you are with the gangbangers and the ballet dancers. Talk to me.
It was a little interesting, you know, being 16 in white tights. It's yeah. a little, it's very intimidating. But the reason why I bring up possibility is because after the performance and the lecture demonstration, we gave them the platform to ask whatever sort of questions they want. And went from really embarrassing, like what kind of underwear do we wear and is it made out of leather?
How do you go to the bathroom? I mean,
exactly. Right, yeah. But what was incredible in the arc of things was that we saw possibility in their eyes. Mm-hmm. They saw that a young Asian boy that was passionate about ballet, that was wearing white tights, could do this as a profession in Lincoln Center. So whether they wanted to do ballet or they wanted to do something else, become a screenwriter, they wanted to be a musician, that they saw the spark of possibility.
One thing I always think that people who work in the arts are very lucky is we get to see the lights turn on.
Oh, you know? Exactly.
Mm-hmm. There may be 2 or 3 in the crowd, but you notice it. You see the lights turn on. And I think that's because the lights were turned on for each of us when we were kids,
right.
you know, which
right.
is which is right. doesn't happen to everybody, but I think that we're the lucky ones. So now you're here. 6, 7 months later, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I haven't really actually seen that much of Columbus. I've been either at my home, at the studio, or at the theater.
You never leave the studio, do you? I mean,
but yeah. that's
the job.
That's the job, and I love it. That's where I want to be.
Okay.
That's where I get to work with my dancers. That's where I get to be a part. Ballet Met also has the 5th largest academy in the nation, so which is very surprising in the numbers. And that, you know, there's always something going on at Ballet Met.
Well, I'm here to tell you that if you're walking downtown between appointments and you're bummed out and you're maybe a little PO'd and whatever. If you want a 5-minute break, walk into Ballet Met's lobby and just stand there at any given weekday because it's great energy, you know? There's either kids running around, dancers running around, everybody's screaming at each other, and it's a very working environment, but it's about people being there like David Brown does on the stage with 200 singers. I mean, it's about people and activity and hearts beating and people breathing and that kind of thing as well. So I'm glad that you're here to stay.
Thank you.
I hope you're here to stay.
Thank you.
And we're going to talk more about academies and things like that. David Brown with the Harmony Project, does what you're doing encourage others to do the same, or do you work with other organizations? I should ask all three of you, is the spirit of community support and volunteerism, if you will, is that flourishing, or does that need a little bit of a goose here and there?
Well, I think it's growing, definitely. We have this kind of great trifecta here in Columbus that a lot of people in different cities don't have. We have the city, county, and state government is very supportive of the arts community here. We have the funding community like the Columbus Foundation, the Arts Council, and we have this amazing community, corporate community out there that really cares. So with all of that going on, and then you've got this base of employees within the corporations who want to give back.
OSU has thousands of employees.
We have just this massive audience of people in Columbus who want to be engaged. And I think with our work, like what we do is, this isn't a tagline of ours in any way, but in some ways we take people out of the seats in the theater and put them on the stage. So we take everyday people from being observers to being participants in their artistic experience. And while it's just singing 10 songs on a stage, you're singing with some of the most amazing musicians in the country. You're performing on one of the grandest stages in this country. And to have those opportunities and those privileges, I think, should come with a price tag. And that's serving and giving back to the community.
But you're singing with 200 people who do that, who serve and give back to the community. And
absolutely.
I think that's what the wonderful part of it is. What is the range of volunteer work that your people do, your members?
Well, we have multiple programs. So right. We have after-school programs for kids. We have the homeless program for folks who used to be homeless. We have a new program at the Ohio Reformatory for Women.
Talk about that.
73 women in the Tapestry program who are all going through this rehabilitation process of kind of owning their mistakes, owning where they are in life. They're going to be coming back out into the community at some point. And we just go in and basically provide them this opportunity to find their voice, because it's important that we each have an opportunity to express our voice. But you asked, what are some of the projects that people can participate in? Volunteers can go serve at the Commons at Buckingham. They can work with students at the project. They can go to the prison.
Let me stop you one second, because I need to know more about, you keep referring to the Commons at Buckingham, and I'm not sure what that is, and I'd like to know more about that. Could you talk about where it is, what it is, et cetera?
Sure. The Commons at Buckingham is a transitional kind of supportive housing facility that's located over by CCAD on Buckingham. Residents there were formerly homeless, suffered with mental, physical disabilities, former veterans, folks who cannot live on their own.
Right.
And we go in and, number one, our volunteers stock the facilities with goods, shampoo, deodorant, toilet tissue, things like that, so that the funding does not have to go to those expenses. But more importantly, we develop relationships with the people who live there, the same with the students at South High School and the same with the women in the prison.
Is that hard to do? Can that be hard to do?
It's not been.
Okay. Good.
I think, again, that there is an appreciation for, if someone's coming in and saying, we want to paint with you, we want to dance with you, we want to sing with you, very few people say no to that, because that kind of stuff just makes you feel good.
Sure. The Harmony Project, again, I'm surprised this isn't, and maybe it has, maybe people are copycatting you all over the world, but it began with David Brown, and I'm delighted at what you're doing. I want to talk later about your actual concerts and your artistic work on stages, and I want to get back to Mark and the King Arts Complex. You were there for a while.
Yes.
You grew up there professionally, I would think, and then left and then came
back. Absolutely.
And how is the organization growing? For someone who knows that there is a King Arts Complex, but that's all they know, can you fill in the blanks for a few people?
Oh, sure. And I guess in a way it kind of mirrors my growth.
Good. We'll talk
as
about
a,
that.
As
yeah.
a person. I was at the King Arts Complex years ago and kind of cut my marketing and arts teeth there. And learned a lot about the arts and what it takes to run an arts organization, and left to go do some other things. You know, arts sometimes doesn't pay as, you know. Had
you went to get a job. You had to pay the mortgage, right?
Right, exactly.
Got the student
loans. Because rents are going up in Columbus.
Exactly. And so,
I hear you.
But, you know, it was always, I remember the day that I had left, I sat in the historic Pythian Theater, and I just cried because of exactly what you were saying. I got to see the lights come on in the lives of especially the kids that we worked with at the King Arts Complex. So, flash forward several years, things change. I'm ready to come back and get that experience again. The thing that I find that has happened at the King Arts Complex in my absence is we've gone from being an arts institution to really understanding how we have to position ourselves as a business. And that's one of the things that our executive director, Demetrius Neely, really brings to the table as our new CEO and executive director. And I just think it's a fascinating time for us. We are really breaking out of some kind of old thinking and kind of making sure that we are tapping into the new markets and the new technologies and ways to present the arts that we weren't doing before. So.
The world is changing, and you better change with it if you want to be. You have
absolutely.
Tell me what a tagline is. Tell me what it was and what it is now.
It was the King Arts Complex, the soul of the city,
right.
And that's what it was for a while. And when I got there, I really kind of thought, you know, let's look at that. And we were able to come up with something that kind of, I believe, is really in keeping with the energy of the institution, and it is called Where Dreams Come Alive. So we are the King Arts Complex, Where Dreams Come Alive. And that's what we've been doing for all the years that we've been in existence, is we've been helping, whether it was an artist that wanted a place to perform that didn't have a place or a space or a place to teach, or a student that wanted to learn the arts. We've been that facility where they could come and have that dream realized.
You have, I think, maybe two groups. You have students,
yes,
who study there, who
yes,
learn there, and then you have audiences who come to see the productions and go through the center and see the permanent exhibits and things,
yes,
like that. Where does your audience come from? Who comes to the King Arts Complex?
Well, we have a great mix of folks that appreciate the arts programs that we put together. And we have folks who are right in the neighborhood, who are within walking distance, who come to our events and activities. And then we also have people who have gone out to the suburbs and kind of did the George Jefferson thing. They moved on up. And
but you guys have some of the most diverse audiences
absolutely
in the city. I mean, you really do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot
that means
of that,
it's working.
Yes,
whatever you're doing, yeah.
Yes. And that's what we want. Because one of the things that David was saying that is absolutely true is that this is all about bridging cultural gaps, mm-hmm, and help. And the arts do that better than anything. I mean, a song. I mean,
everybody can
gets
sing
that.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So
and everybody can move. Everybody can.
Exactly.
I once had someone from Ballet Met on this program many years ago, and I was in one of my moods, and I said, I think it was your ballet mistress, and she was great, but I said, well, could you teach me to dance? And she said, I certainly could. And she and we on the radio, thank God, got up. and she had me, you know, and you know, I went into third position and slipped a disc, but I did it, you know.
I mean, that's
you know,
what matters.
Thank you very much. We've got a couple of emails coming in, and if you'd like to call, the number is 614-292-8513 if you want to talk with Edward Lang from Ballet Met, David Brown from the Harmony Project, and Mark Cardwell from the King Arts Complex. We get really three wonderful representatives of just a sampling of the great arts energy here in Central Ohio, and I've lived here just over 20 years, and it's very different than it was when I first came here. It's really very, very different. There's an email from Daniel. I'm curious if Mark from the King Arts Complex has heard Spike Lee's recent comments about gentrification. You're laughing already.
Yes.
Especially as related to New York City and Brooklyn. It seems to me some of that is happening, yes, in the King Lincoln, yes, District.
Yes.
Does he think Lincoln Theater and other communities are better partners and a better model, et cetera? So let's talk
That's
about
good.
Gentrification. Let's talk about maybe people being feeling a little displaced or whatever.
Well, yes, I have seen it. And I found it very interesting. And yes, that is something that is happening. But, you know, the planners of the blueprint that's been laid out for the area have taken a lot of pains to engage the community almost in every step of the way as this development of the King Lincoln District is happening. And so you can't say that there hasn't been an opportunity for dialogue along the process. But just as I was saying earlier, it's still hard to watch, you know, still hard to watch.
Do you have to program for the that community within maybe a mile radius or?
100%. Yes, yeah, Chris. And that, you know, and that's the thing that really is seriously something that we're looking at the King Arts Complex right now is that as the as that radius around us changes, we have to make sure that we are relevant to that radius as well.
And so, yeah. And Edward Lang, I'm convinced that when you were standing there in your tights in the inner city high schools in New York City when you were a young Asian boy, that's what you called yourself, dancer. I'm convinced that a lot of people, particularly young men, looked at you and probably were publicly derisive, but they were privately very, very impressed and wondering, you know, I'd never seen anything like this, and I didn't know such this kind of a discipline was possible.
Exactly.
Did you feel that?
Absolutely.
That kind of thing?
I think that's the point of outreach, and whether it's dance, song, anything that we do in the creative arts, I think that, you know, that is true, is that arts really bridge the gap and really starts the conversation. And during that experience, that's what really, I think, drew me even closer to what I do, is that I see the impact that we can all have on kids, our future.
Yeah, you know, it may not be the actual art that each of you represent that turns somebody on, but I think it may be the commitment. The fact that you're standing up there doing it, I think, no matter what it may be, I think can make a very positive and a powerful impression. We are going to take another break and come back for our last segment. So if you want to get in the conversation, this would be the time. 292-8513 or send an email right now to allsides@wosu.org. And we will be back in 90 seconds. I'm Christopher Purdy. My usual beat is Classical 101, our sister organization, but once in a while they let me out and actually let me speak in public to the arts here on All Sides Weekend with today with Edward Lang, the artistic director of Ballet Met, with David Brown, who's the founder of the Harmony Project, and with Mark Cardwell, who is the marketing director of the King Arts Complex. And we have a call from Tim, who's been waiting patiently. Hello, Tim, you're on. Maybe he wasn't that patient. Tim? Okay, no Tim. Maybe he'll call back. How about Marilyn? Hello, Marilyn?
Marilyn, I'm here.
Good.
And I want to thank you, Christopher Purdy, for this wonderful program. I think it's so exciting and so good. I hope it'll be rebroadcast a lot because it really wakes up people, I think, to what the arts are and how important they are. And I'm thinking of not only the King's Arts Complex and also Ballet Met, but also the Columbus Symphony, which is really not supported very well. And people don't realize how much the arts can do besides, you know, they're involved in the community and so on. So I just think this is a wonderful program. I'm so glad that you had it. So I wanted to thank you for it.
Marilyn, thank you very much. I appreciate that call. Thank you so much. Let's talk a little bit about what you guys actually do that people can come and see. It's kind of obvious with Ballet Met, but David, how about giving us some specifics? Edward, pardon me.
Oh, no problem. Well, we only have two programs left. The first program that is coming up is George Balanchine Symphony in C, My Ballet Wonderland, and Bolero. And that'll be at the Ohio Theater March 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. And I'm very proud of being a part of this and help bring this program because Symphony in C is, I really do believe, is a masterpiece.
It's the Gone with the Wind of ballet, isn't it?
Pretty much,
yeah.
Yes. And it's really going to be spectacular. So I'm very excited about that. And the last program is stated as new works, new directions. And before I signed on as an artistic director, they left this program open for me to fully be able to program. So we're bringing Christopher Wheeldon's Carousel. And Christopher Wheeldon is artist in residence for Royal Ballet and New York City Ballet. And then we have a program, a ballet from Gustavo Ramirez Insano from Spain, and a world premiere from me. And it's to Rachmaninoff, and with two huge 9-foot grand pianos on stage. Ah. So live music.
You're going to dance on the pianos?
Not me, okay. But maybe my dancers.
Let's see. I think we have Tim. Tim, are you here? Tim. Hello, Tim. Tim?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Thank you. Go ahead, Tim.
Okay. Hi. I guess this comment or plug is kind of aimed at Edward. And I just wanted to say my daughter, who's 7 turning 8, has been enrolled in the academy, the Children's Academy at Ballet Met this past year, and just loves it. And I just wanted to say how grateful I am for a program like that, you know, allows parents to take their kids to, you know, just one thing a week and really just know that it's excellent, it's worth the time and money. And my wife and I really saved up to do that because we just were tired of going to, you know, the rec center or the sort of fun dance around, be silly classes. And I don't think she was really enjoying it because there wasn't that satisfaction of really accomplishing something. And now she's really excited about ballet, and she's been to see Alice in Wonderland and, you know, gotten to do a dance from that in the class, and we got to see it. So I don't know. I wanted to say, you know,
Tim, specifically, what do you think your daughter is really picking up on? What is contributing to her enjoyment of this?
I think it's just the, you know, the being taken seriously and asked to perform to a high standard, even though she's only 7, and, you know, having some structure and just the level playing field. Everyone's treated as equals. There's diversity there. There's high professionalism. I think it's good. It's really good.
Terrific. Good. Thank you so much for your call, Tim. I appreciate it. 292-8513, if you'd like to join us. All sides at WOSU is the email address. David, what's going on with the actual performances of the Harmony Project?
Over the next couple of months, our South High program, South High Harmony, we're taking 60 South High School students to New York City, where they're going to sing in Times Square as part of a pop-up choir. They're going to perform a service project with other New York City public school students. And then on that Sunday morning, they're going to visit Norman Vincent Peale's old stomping grounds, Marble Collegiate,
on 5th Avenue and
29th, and engage in a performance there. So we're excited about that. In April, the end of April, National Volunteer Week, we're going into Franklinton, where we're going to be planting trees, creating public art, working with the Boys and Girls Club, doing a little refurbishing over there. And then June 4th, we make our Ohio Theater debut. So, and you can check out our new website, harmonyproject.com. We just released a new website, and that has a lot of our programming information on it as well.
And what do you do in your spare time?
I get harassed by you to be on the radio show.
Yeah, I know. That's done with love. How many kids are you taking to New York, roughly?
Well, we could take as many as 60, but there are very strict, Well, what Tim said is, I think what talking about the ballet program is that the discipline and the demand, I think that that's something that also attracts people to King Arts, to Harmony Project, is that we do, even though it's all about accepting everyone and bringing everyone in, it doesn't mean that we don't make demands of those people to really push themselves artistically. So these kids are being challenged artistically, educationally, and I think kind of emotionally in a way, that they have to learn how to behave. There are expectations of them to be able to benefit from this trip.
I think a trip like that can be life-changing.
They're going to go see Lion King.
Oh, yeah, I mean, really.
Last year, we took them to Washington, D.C. They were texting us from the bus, not knowing why their ears were popping, because they had never experienced altitude change. And I mean, and it's kind of hard to imagine, but, you know, altitude change is not something they're going to experience in New York City, but they're going to experience attitude change in a massive way.
That and noise.
Yeah, totally.
Yes, yeah, that and a great noise. I'm as an old New Yorker myself. We have a call from Alan in Clintonville. Hello, Alan.
Yes. Having seen 3 or 4 of the Harmony Project's presentations. I just want to congratulate David Brown for his work and enthusiasm. Even as an audience member, you want to stand up and sing with them all.
Well, you should come up on the stage and sing with us.
David, his enthusiasm gets all the 200 members enthusiastic, and I've got a good friend who's one of them, and she loves it.
Alan, you know, that's a surprise, because in person, David is so shy and reticent, and it's almost impossible to get him to say anything. But thank you very much for that call, Alan.
And thank you.
If you believe what I just said, I got a bridge I could sell you. We have a call from Renda in Columbus. Hello?
Hello?
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm in the Harmony Project Choir, and I know David. And I wanted David to comment on how was his vision different from the New York Metro Mass Choir to the Harmony Project.
Okay. And go ahead.
Okay. Well, so I was in New York for 16 years, and I led a citywide choir there. That the idea for service was alive, but as those of you who've lived in New York know, it's not always easy to get a bunch of New Yorkers to go out and do a service project, because we're all just basically fighting to survive, to get from one point to another.
Now and, you want me to go out and do what? Get
yeah,
out of here.
And spending $3,000 a month for 500 right. square feet.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
So you work really, really hard to live in that city. So the vision is different here in that in New York, it was a free and open program, but here there is the price tag attached to it of community service and getting people reengaged and reinvested in kind of back into their communities. So it's like what Mark was talking about, the reinvention that the King Arts Complex is going through and what Ballet Met is kind of going through. Artists have to constantly reinvent. You stay always true to your mission, but you're constantly reinventing your kind of marketing and your brand so that it keeps opening its arms to more and more people and bringing them in.
And Mark, you spoke to that because you're changing your taglines are changing and you're changing it. You're doing a little image adjustment and things like that. Now that we're getting the last few moments of the show, let's sell some tickets. Okay,
sure. Please. Well, you know, one of the things I did want to mention, because we kind of touched on the kids programs, is we have a winter academy, we have a spring academy, a summer arts enrichment camp, we have an after school arts institute, and our education director, Alfred Dove, has done a great job in creating new things for us to get involved in. I don't know where he's going to find the time, but we have something called the Pythian Players, and of course we have our Saturday programming and another project that he's got going on about playwriting. And so just hit our website at thekingartscomplex.com and get some more information about that. But coming up tonight, we have a free program, which is it's All About Jazz, and we have our new board member, Professor William Ted McDaniels. He's director of jazz.
Oh, yes. He's the best, yeah.
Isn't he something? And so he'll be at the King Arts Complex, and he'll be speaking on how jazz and the civil rights movement kind of coexisted and influenced one another. So that's tonight at 6 o'clock at the complex, and that's a free one. And
do you do a number of free
yes.
programs for the community?
Oh my gosh, we do over 20 free programs a year.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes. So
it's almost 2 a month. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It really is. But, you know, it's important. It's a part of our mission. It's part of what we said the program's about, outreach. So,
Between you guys and the Lincoln, the people don't know there are so many programs happening over in the King Arts district. It's just constantly.
Right.
We rehearse there on Mondays, so we get to kind of know about it.
Yeah.
But I wish there was a way that, like, everybody could know about how much is happening over there at the King Arts Complex and the Lincoln Theater.
That's interesting because, you know, for instance, for Ballet Met to do a program in the Lincoln Theater, you're going probably a mile from your offices to your rehearsal space.
Right.
And I'm convinced that if you do that... And a mile from the Ohio Theater, you'd get a whole different audience. Is that
true? Absolutely.
That people want to go close to home.
Absolutely.
Right. So I think that's one of the wonderful things about the Pythian and the Lincoln Theaters that, you know, it's a platform, it's a venue for anyone of quality to do a performance and maybe hit an audience you don't even know is there.
Exactly.
That is very much present. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you have, when you say academies, do you mean, tell me specifically the after school one. Talk about that because that sounds interesting.
Well, the after school program is going on right now. And it's really great because, you know, I'm going to get all misty thinking about
the
kids.
Go ahead.
But It is exactly what we were talking about, because you can watch the lights come on. So the kids will come in to they'll get picked up. And when they come in, we have different types of arts experiences for them. And exactly what we were saying, we do not shy away from challenging them to be disciplined with their art. And to watch them
it
is
may
amazing.
Be the first time that somebody has, you know, had expectations for them. You know, I mean, you need to do this this way by this date. I mean,
exactly.
Really.
We've got a new digital music program. Our kids are making music. Great. I mean, they're beginning to compose, and we just started. It's in infancy, but the kids, we taught them, we kind of drew them in by saying, hey, let's learn how to make beats, you know, but we're teaching them music composition as we kind of go along and get into it. And they're fantastic. They're little composers. They've already created three pieces, yeah. You know, so that's a part of our after school program. So
if you have little kids and you get them and you allow them to do something themselves, they can't sit there and watch you. They don't do that. But you get them up doing it. You're good to go. We have a call from Beth in Columbus. Hello, Beth.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, I just caught the tail end of the discussion, and I wanted to mention Susan, the box office director, who's also the director of the African dance group, Thuson.
Thuson.
Mm-hmm. And let people know that, you know, anybody can go to Thuson and her husband, who was the director of the song, had very much wanted to include drumming, and so she's taken it to a second level. And the students can also either dance or drum, or they can do both. But now she's got an international aspect coming in, where she's brought people in from where her Mali and other places around Africa, where her roots are and her husband's roots are, to come in and drum with other local drummers. Mm-hmm. So just wanted to see if you could talk a little bit more about that.
We will, Beth. Thank you so much. David,
can I say something about Susan?
So,
first of all, she's talking about Susan Bradford.
Right.
Susan Bradford is a queen.
Right.
Okay, first of all, let me just say that. And I refer to her as Miss Bradford. Now, sometimes she refers to me as Miss Brown, but at the same time, you know, for the OSU listeners, I'm sure they get a little laugh. But Susan Bradford has done an amazing job at the Lincoln Theater, and Chasson is a phenomenal dance organization.
Thank you, Beth. First of all, because I've never heard of it, and I get around. So let's
West African dance. Well, it's spelled Thoissanne. So you may have seen it, but not known it was pronounced Chasson. But you know, at Easton coming up this year, Easton is going to do this Arts and Entertainment Weekend, which is a new thing for Easton. Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, and here's a perfect example of all of us sitting at the table and how we're all involved in it, even indirectly. Mm-hmm. On Friday night, Pennell Dance Center, Momentum, which has a partnership with Ballet Met, Chasson, which has a relationship with King Arts Complex and the Lincoln Theater, as well as Transit Arts, which is related to the Greater Columbus Arts Council, will all four be performing in one night. Mm-hmm. So how amazing is that?
That's very amazing.
Yeah, and then the next night you have Bluegrass, Tom Krause's band, Grassinine. I don't know if you've ever heard of them.
No, but I love it already.
Right? And, you know, and gospel and bluegrass and jazz all mixed together. That's the beautiful part of Columbus.
Yeah,
is that
that's it.
You just scratch the surface and it's here. Sometimes you have to search for it, though.
Right.
Well,
right.
Also, there's so many great organizations out there like Thuson, which I'd never heard of, but you know, you don't know if you don't ask. You know, sometimes you have to make a this is the internet age, and it's not that hard to hit a search button, you know, looking at dance in Columbus, Ohio. These things will come up, really.
Right.
But I do think that out there we're getting the buzz in the community really going a lot, that people are taking the initiative to find out what's going on. We are 3 minutes out from the end of the show. Everybody gets a last word, a last plug. Edward Lang, Ballet Met's artistic director, a wonderful dancer and a sweet guy. Talk to me.
Well, please, please, please.
Just buy tickets and shut up.
Buy tickets, come to the Ohio Theater, and tell a friend about this amazing program. I'm just so proud of my dancers and really proud to be a part of this organization. So please come.
Thank you, David Brown, the Harmony Project.
Well, I just want to thank Columbus because it's an amazing community. And, you know, from our local government all the way to our funders, to the corporate community, everybody who pitches in to make all of what we do possible, we should not take it for granted. It doesn't happen in a lot of other cities around the country. And thank you guys for staying true to getting the message of what we do out to the community, because if they don't hear about it, they can't come see it. So thank you.
When you just real quick, when you began the Harmony Project in Columbus, how long did it take you to get enough interest to get it up and running?
Well, it was 10 weeks. I mean, we started it and from October 1st.
10 weeks. Time to go. And Mark Cardwell, real fast.
Yes,
he
yes.
Not complex.
Imani Wins will be happening on April 13th, and we'll be promoting that here on WSU as well.
Yes, you will. Yes. Thank you so much, Edward Lang, David Brown, and Mark Cardwell for your organizations. Thanks, you all, for listening. I'm Christopher Purdy, the host of All Sides Weekend Today. Thank you, Michael DeBonis, our producer. Thank you, the sublime Amy Jurovich. Thank you, Rachel Quimby, the assistant producer, and our assistant. Jocelyn Smallwood, Olivia Rojas, Julia Hyder, Emmy Beach, Joel Nadler, and Leticia Wiggins. Thank you all.